Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Wise Women Media Radio Show, and I wanted to just let you all know about our sponsors, which are Roundtree 7, Here Be Monsters, Daughters of Isis, The Hoodooed Blog, Power New Media and Public Relations, Tarot and Stars, and Florida Nature Photos. Also, I want to remind you all that to keep the show on the air, it'd be nice if we could receive some contributions, donations, anything you can afford will do. We do have a link up on our blog at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. It says donate at thewepay.com. It's at the very top of the page underneath the sponsors. I have not updated that page. And we had some weather problems here today, and I didn't have internet access for part of the day. But I will have that updated tonight, and if you can hit us up tomorrow with any kind of contributions, that will help keep the show on the air every week. So I wanted to get right to our special guest, Sally O. Elcordy. She's an activist. She is also running for office. She has a lot of different issues that she works on, and she's going to tell us all about that. So I just want to turn the floor over to Sally. And, Sally, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Well, you're going to love me because I actually tried to donate earlier. I'm glad to hear that that's going to be updated by later this evening.
Yeah, we have some. We get
work you do, Anita.
Yeah, we get some really bad weather coming through here, and it's been raining all day. So for a good portion of the day, I couldn't even access the web.
If you go there and you don't get, you aren't able to donate, check back later, because obviously it's a weather issue, not a lack of needing donations issue.
Right, right.
And let's talk about donations, you and I, because I really think that it's important that people be able to fundraise for candidates they believe in on commission, and I believe that there's nothing wrong with doing that. I didn't get to call my accountant before I called because I'm fairly sure there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So people who need donations for their campaigns should have people raising money for them on commission, you know? And as my mother always said, salespeople are the most accurately paid people in the world. They get exactly what they're worth because they work on commission. So there you go.
Right, right, exactly. Now,
right.
I noticed you had, let's discuss that right off the bat about your website, because I did go and try to find your website this afternoon, and it wasn't showing up in any kind of search.
Right. Thank you for bringing that up. This is
for supporters who are possibly listening in right now, or they'll listen to the archive later, what would be the best way for them to get campaign contributions to you?
Oh, good question. Well, all I can say is this is a much larger issue than money here. This is censorship. And you and I, let's start where you and I found one another, Anita Stewart. We were both trying to get the word out about Cynthia McKinney and being in an Israeli prison, having taken the Spirit of Humanity boat with supplies to Palestine and never making it before she was arrested. They boarded her boat in international seas, and you and I were trying to get the word out about her situation. And here
exactly.
She is, a former congresswoman, former presidential candidate for the Green Party, and no one would touch it with a 10-foot pole. And I say that because at the time I was volunteering for a fellow who was running for public advocate, because I serve hospitals and homeless shelters by putting on comedy shows, and I found that the women in the shelters really needed a public advocate. So I went to volunteer, and hopefully this person would then help the situation. I found help for them elsewhere, which I'll tell you about. Very, very important woman, Rosa Mendez. I'll tell you about her later. But anyway, so where are we? Where do we, you know, I...
Talking about Cynthia McKinney and how we met. Surrounding
the whole... She couldn't get the word out. And she stayed in the prison along with Mairead McGuire from Ireland, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Here, Cynthia McKinney, a former presidential candidate and congressional office holder for Georgia, and her father before her. So,
right.
A complete media blackout. Every single person I talked to, and I only spoke to activists. These are the only people I called. Not any of them had a clue. And I want to give a shout-out to WBAI, who has a interviews from prison radio network. Awesome. She was actually interviewed from an Israeli prison through WBAI. You remember that, Anita?
I certainly do remember that. That was a lot of people, too, didn't realize also that this was the same weekend that Michael Jackson died, because
was it really?
Oh, yeah, it was the same exact weekend that Michael Jackson died, so the media, the mainstream media was
I worked for a guy who supposedly had alternative mainstream media, right? Here I'm volunteering for a fellow who owns an entire station, and I'm calling all of his producers saying, I volunteer for this guy, will you please get this on the air? And for love or money, I could not get this on the air. I wouldn't know about money because I didn't offer money, but certainly it was the scoop to end all scoops.
Yeah, and nobody would cover it. And I remember that, and I remember when Cynthia had called me, I had advised her because she had told me when they were leaving. And I advised her, I said, and I didn't know, of course, what was going to happen. And I told her, I said, I don't think that your mission will get a lot of coverage because I just got word. I remember I was with my patient and the TV was on, so that's how I knew. I normally don't watch television, but the TV
right.
was on.
Remember, Councilman Barron had a protest, which
yeah.
I thought was very important. He called it. If a an elected official calls it, it's really far more weighty, and it possibly might get mainstream media coverage, which it did not. But I covered it with my camera, and then people covered me covering it as if I was doing something wrong. No,
yeah.
I'm not doing something wrong.
Right. And I remember telling Cynthia, you're not going to get a lot of coverage right now. The news is all talking about Michael Jackson, and that's it. And I remember saying that to her. And in any case, whatever night that was, I don't remember the exact date, I think they left that night or that morning, early morning. And then, of course, the rest, is in history books, in at least the secret history books. So
wow, I really, really, see, because I knew Cynthia, because I really knew her more than I knew Michael Jackson, even though I grew up with Michael Jackson, what she said just pierced me like a hot knife. There isn't anything that she said that I was not like, oh, wow,
mm-hmm.
what a woman. Courage, compassion. What are you missing in government? Courage and compassion.
And another thing that is interesting to note, too, is the fact that Cynthia doesn't swim. So she doesn't know how to swim. So here she is on a boat with a bunch of other...
Oh, I never even thought of that aspect.
Yeah, she doesn't swim. So if the boat was rammed and she ended up in the water, and God forbid something happened to her vest or whatever, she's sinking. So, I never thought of that
because I never thought, I never thought to think, gee, I hope these people can swim,
But I made a comment to her assistant several times, get her to the Y and get her some swimming glasses before she does this again.
That is
I remember,
kudos on that.
Yeah, I remember saying that to David, who is her, who has worked with her for a number of years. I said that really needs to be done before she gets on a boat again. But anyway, that's how we met, and we met through our activism, and basically through that whole situation, we went on to so many more situations.
Well, you
and
I care about a multitude of issues, Anita. If I could make a huge list of them, and either you or I could address any one of them for at least 10 minutes, I'd say at least 2 hours. So we are very well researched. We care about the same things. There are a myriad of issues. When I run for Congress, it's really hard for me to narrow it down for a business card, But I start by saying goodness in government. That's really the whole ball of wax. If goodness existed in government, however ridiculous that may sound, we all yearn for it now, God, I wish we had some goodness in government, just a spark of goodness. And here, I've narrowed it down to jobs, not war. Certainly anything but war. Could be jobs, that would be great, but anything but war. And
tell our listeners exactly what you're running for and
well,
give an
right
address.
Right now how I had to narrow it down, and we can get into any number of issues, you and I. But the second one is Restore the Bill of Rights. That's a juicy one, and certainly one that I have thrown myself into, and I have very good news in this regard. And then there's banning vaccines, chemtrails, GMOs, nukes, fracking, fluoride, depleted uranium. I just heard the most staggering statistic from Diane Steele, God bless her, activist soul. She posts about Fukushima constantly, and the latest thing she posted, I just have been reeling from the implication of it. It's just so upsetting. Fukushima is the undeclared war, she said that five, and I don't know the proximity, in Japan, I don't know if it's near Fukushima or throughout Japan, that this staggering statistic exists. 5 out of 7 births, either the child is disabled, the child is not autistic. It is what you normally would yield from a very elderly woman having a child. Down syndrome. So either disabled,
okay.
Down syndrome at any age. That's fascinating to me. And death. So 5 out of 7 children, disabled, Down syndrome, or death. Now, nobody has seen the pictures of those poor babies in Iraq, born exposed to depleted uranium. And that is the best kept secret in the whole wide world because it is beyond your wildest imagination. So the Japanese is graceful. I just want to say this one thing because if I don't say it now, I may not get to say it. It's so important. The Japanese, as graceful a people as they are, actually had a march apologizing to the world.
Wow. That's pretty stunning, prolific type stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The main thing that I have a problem with in something like that is when we blame ourselves for these things that are happening on the planet. The corporations are the ones that are in charge, and it's almost like we've become the abused in a codependent relationship.
Right. Oh, well put, Anita. I like that.
Understand what I'm saying?
I don't like it, but it's certainly accurate.
It's kind of like we are told that we are the ones that pollute, for instance. We are the polluters. And yes, indeed, we are. But this is not our fault. This is the corporations that have taken control that don't give us or don't make available the alternatives, even though they know
right.
the alternatives.
Like, I've never seen what happened to the who killed the electric car. But I bet I know
right.
the answer to it.
You know, I live very, very close to the man here in Florida that was selling the first electric cars. He's doing another job now, actually working with engines, small engines. And I'm not at liberty to say where he lives and what he's doing now, but he's almost living completely, totally off the grid. And come to find out, he lives very close to where I live. But I think this guy is very scared because if things ever did come crashing down in our society, his knowledge would be needed and he might have to, you know, put out that knowledge, you know, with a gun to his head. And this is some serious, serious stuff here. But in any case, let me go back to that thought of
what
us being
serious?
The codependent.
I want to tell jokes. Would you like to hear a joke, Anita?
Yeah.
Here you
go.
Especially for wise women. If you don't like the way women drive, stay off the sidewalk. I went to a feminist organization. I told all Henny Youngman jokes. We laughed ourselves sick. I mean, they were all, you know, very, very sexist. And I'm telling this to a feminist. And I'm telling you, did we laugh?
I admire what you've done with comedy because you've taken it to new levels, and I like that whole idea.
You know, Jerry Lewis took it to new levels. God bless that man, and he tried, and this interview just came out. I am absolutely, I don't know what to say about this. I am so sick about this. Someone came to him, a very famous scientist who was involved in many breakthroughs, came to him with a cure for muscular dystrophy, for which he has raised millions of dollars over the years, and he brought it to the organization he served. Well, let me tell you, they fired him. And this, everybody's wondering, where'd he go? He found the cure. There's no money in the cure. Just like I was speaking to Anne Reid, and I said, they can't take diplomacy off the table with Iran. She said, Sally, there's no money in diplomacy. Well, so is it with, you know, the military, the pharmaceutical industrial complex. There are ways to stop the madness, but they're not being allowed.
Right. Right.
And I say peace for peace. Just don't do the wrong thing. You don't got to cure it. Just stop doing it.
Right. Exactly. The deep green resistance teaches, for instance, that they have a thought that, for instance, going back to pollution, we are not the polluters. The corporations that rule us pollute 90% of the time. So we as users not giving alternatives can't be blamed for that. And then going back also to what you said, several people have said that over the past year. I've heard that. If you don't want war, stop. If you don't want...
It's so easy. It's so easy.
It's
all you have to do is not do the wrong thing. We'll be fine. Everybody's fine. Just stop doing the wrong thing and we can breathe. Like, for example, chemtrails. Stop spraying them and I can breathe.
Well, I'll be taking care of
the... We are not
the
free as long as we are the pests. And the chemtrails are the pesticides. We are not free.
I'll be taking care of a patient tomorrow that's 2 years older than me. He's not even 60, and he's already got COPD. You know, and I'm not understanding.
Now, this is nurse talk, Anita. I don't know what CODT is.
COPD. It's a lung condition. It's a non-specific lung condition. Normally, the people that have COPD are on oxygen. So they really have severe upper respiratory and breathing problems.
And these are the noxious fumes from the core exit. Am I correct?
Well, he could have it from anything. People that really are very heavy smokers have it. And so that could be a possibility. The chemtrails could be another possibility. Eventually, COPD will kill, but it can be caused from just about anything that's polluting the air around a person or if they're smoking and kind of destroying themselves. So I'm thinking he's young. Usually I see old people with their oxygen tanks. But to see somebody that's in their 50s with an oxygen tank not able to breathe, that's like...
And let us talk about the children. When you go to a hospital, what are the children suffering from?
Yeah, and most of them have asthma or non-specific breathing problems. A lot of the children have asthma today, and there's an epidemic of diabetes. So we can say, okay, the asthma is the breathing problems. The diabetes, my God, that's from the high fructose corn syrup and all of the carcinogens that are in our food.
Well,
know?
Also, Dr. Carley, and I reiterate because I asked her to recommend what people in the Gulf could do to detox. And first of all, she said, you have to get out, that the environment is poisoned for decades. So you just have to relocate. And I was talking to Denise Rednauer. She said there have been reports as many as 14 million people. I had heard 11 million. She said there have been reports of as many as 40 million people suffering. How do you relocate 40 million people, pray tell? And there's no end in sight because the environment is poisoned. And this is really something now I'm thinking, how do we relocate the whole world? And I was talking to her about relocating people and the whole billion-dollar march for survival. And I've been talking to my legislators about opening up foreclosed homes for children from the Gulf, you know, and because they're suffering, because their little bodies are taking in the same amount of toxins as people with larger bodies. So they're suffering more. And
yeah,
this
the children-
is...
Children are more symptomatic than the adults, and Dr. Ricky Ott mentioned that in the very beginning, simply because of the same reason you said, because you know they're getting a double whammy of that of the toxins in the air and everything else, and they're breathing that in. So the parents,
what Carley said is don't let them get vaccinated on top of it. There should be a ban on vaccines, especially there. I feel that there should be a ban on them regardless. But especially there because they just can't take any more. They cannot take any more. So pharmaceuticals need to lay off of the children in the Gulf, they have enough problems without
and
vaccinating.
And we're finding, too, that a lot of people are more symptomatic if they're smokers. If they smoke cigarettes, they normally will take a very, very bad reaction to the toxins in the air. So I encourage people, if you're living in the Gulf region, you really need to quit smoking. You really do. I mean, you need to quit anyway, but just the fact that this is a big toxic, it's a toxic zone. It's a kill zone. That's all I can
say. What we're talking about, as bad as cigarettes are, we're talking about toxic waste that would need to be disposed of in a toxic waste dump vaccine. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about smoke or secondhand smoke or any of that, and there's plenty of bad things to be gained from that or to be lost from that. But these vaccines have got to stop, period, let alone adding them to the amazing amount of metals and poisons. And, you know, somebody made this video the other day that they were spraying depleted uranium. I'm like, this better be a lie. This better be a lie, because this is what James Madison said, that what you do to people overseas is like a dress rehearsal for what you're going to bring home. I have always wondered, when are they going to change the mix from aluminum and barium, cesium, what have you, to depleted uranium? When is that going to happen? And all I can say is keep your eyes and ears open and report it. I report this on a regular basis. I show the pictures. I show my legislators everything. And everyone's not allowed to talk about it. It's the most obvious secret in the world. The most obvious secret in the world is chemtrails.
You know, it's really funny, but the people that are in the Gulf region were talking, and they're still talking, you know, because they believe they're still being sprayed by the core exit, you know, planes. They're being dumped on with all these toxins. And you know, there's too many eyewitnesses to say that this is not happening. But then some of these people will turn around and say that they don't believe in chemtrails. And I'll go, I say to them, well, what do you think is the difference between the two? It's both the same. You're being used as a lab rat, and whether they're spraying Corexit on you or barium on you, it really doesn't matter. But if you can believe and you're an eyewitness to them spraying Corexit, why don't you believe that chemtrails exist? I mean, all you have to do is look up and see the planes and the grids in the sky. The grids are a telltale sign.
Well, Anita, this is why I keep running on vaccines and chemtrails. Anybody will talk about any other issue. They'll talk about fracking. They'll talk about fluoridation with trepidation, but they'll talk about it. They will not talk, you know, they'll talk about the footprint. Oh, Lord, they'll talk a blue streak about that. But they'll, you know, they'll talk about 9/11 truth. They'll talk about everything but vaccines and chemtrails. And that's why I keep staying in the mix. Of course I want war to stop. But there's a war on our children. There's a war over our heads. You know,
yeah,
it's all important. And it's all over the world. These vaccine problems are all across the world. And the chemtrails are across the world. I am not talking about anything that doesn't affect everybody detrimentally.
Right. Right. It's a war. And it's a war against the people. And unfortunately, it's really hard to get people on the same page because so many people just don't want to believe that it's happening. They don't want to know.
Everybody has one issue. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on one issue. I can't look left, I can't look right. This is my issue. This is what I find refreshing about you. You are completely open to everything and how it's all connected.
Right. Right. And I just wanted to say, if anybody is listening and wants to call in, Please call in. The number is on the very top of the slideshow, and give us a call if you have any questions for Sally. I wanted
good,
to
good.
Ask.
Let me just give a shout out to some really good websites, okay? Now I'm going to give you websites. If they don't, I'm not going to say .com or .org because I'm not completely sure. But I will give you the basis of the website. VacTruth.something. Vaccine Resistance Movement dot something. Reversing Vaccine Induced Diseases dot something. So many good ones, Lord. Oh, you must go to YouTube and type in Lethal Injection : The Story of Vaccination. That is 2.5 hours, and if you have any questions, they will all be addressed. Now, there's one that RFK Jr. has put out that is just for anyone who thinks that there has not been a plan to diminish the population and well-being. One must look at that. It is called, that's an RFK video, RFK Jr. I wish I could remember it. Anyway, I'll give it to you so that you can post it somewhere. It's very important. And it talks about the plan. And the plan is rotten. They tried to sell us a bill of goods. They said that vaccines create antibodies. Oh, boy, that's really good. That's really good. No. Antibodies work against your body. So they've got me jumping up and down about something that's bad for you. So they actually fulfill their mission. Their mission is to work against your body. Now, sudden infant death syndrome has been linked to vaccines. Autism, over the top. When I was a kid, we had 3 vaccines. Now there are 69 doses of 16 different vaccines. How a child is expected to survive this? The answer, they're not. If you give a baby a vaccine, that would be the equivalent of giving the doctor 30. Think about that. The doctor who gives the baby the vaccine, if you were to get something equivalent, you would get 30 vaccines.
Wow. And I remember, you know, I remember the vaccines we had as children. And I also remember that in school I got the little polio cube of sugar with the red stuff in it. I remember that. And
In India, they have 47,500 paralysis cases from the live polio virus they gave 2 doses of to children on the highway, pulled over on an outing with their parents, and administered at gunpoint 2 doses each. I saw a video on it. And now there are 47,500 that I knew of back when I read this article months ago, paralyzed as a result. So India stopped the Gardasil vaccine because 8 girls had died. Well, I think pharma said, oh, really? You think so? Well, let us introduce you to the polio live virus, shall we? And see how many of your children will survive that. So you don't mess around with pharma, boy. Mm-mm.
What do you think about the link between vaccinations and autism? And I know a lot of people are trying to debunk that, but what is your take on that?
Well, I would like to talk to you about mental retardation because I understand the word retardation is going to be a big no-no, or maybe it already is. But I'd like to say, do not remove the word, remove the cause. And my sister was severely mentally retarded, and I noticed an increase over time in the number of children I was encountering who reminded me of my sister. And I finally thought, this is just, I have to say something. So I walked up to a couple and I said, hi, my name's Sally and my sister was severely mentally retarded. What's the matter with your kid? Okay, now that's a hell of a thing to say to young parents. And they were so relieved. And they would talk to me for a very long period of time. And somewhere in that conversation at the beginning or at the end, they would say, but the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine. So started me thinking, how unusual is this, that they all at some point say, And I have a flyer called Billions to Help a March for Survival. And the category of vaccines, I talk about thermonuclear war. I talk about water poisons, food poisons, you know, all kinds of things. And then, of course, I talk about the unspeakable things, including trafficking, et cetera. So I really think everybody needs a copy of Billion Tabo March for Survival, and I will get it to you. If you write to me at ceaseforpeace@gmail.com, cease, as in cease and desist, cease, the number 4, peace, at gmail.com, and I will get you the Billion Tabo March for Survival with a myriad of very important links, all of which, as parents, one needs to know completely. Now, this new thing, check this out, transhumanism. Okay, when Cindy Sheehan was here, I had just taken a huge group of homeless teens to see Avatar. I thought,
right,
this is a wonderful movie with a very positive message. So I was taking Cindy to see Hair, and she said to me, I said, did you see Avatar? She said, it's too good. I said, no, I said, I know just what you mean. It's too good. And, of course, the famous line from that is when the person who is a very faithful servant in the military says, I didn't sign up for this when it came to blowing up people for no reason, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I had many, many positive messages. We're all connected. One positive message after the next, and which is why I brought so many kids to see it, and I had to go to a homeless shelter to find kids who hadn't already seen it. So this fellow says, and it's right in our face, he said, what the movie was about was transhumanism. And this is a new breed of creature that we are developing through DNA for our generations to come. It's a very interesting subject, but it is scary beyond word, and certainly not something that I ever voted on, you know, for my children's future. So he said what people missed, and I included, was that the real issue was right in your face. He's blue, half animal, half man. Now, Dr. Crowley, I refer to her again, but she's saying they're doing it to us all the time. We have so many body parts in these vaccines from different animals. She said this is nothing new. This has been going on for quite some time. And, of course, depending, she goes on to explain, what kind of tissue you are given, that's the tissue, not necessarily which animal, but which animal's tissue. Is it a liver, for example? That's what you create an antibody against, okay? And then when you're finished eating up the foreign antibody of that specific body part, you know, liver, then you start working on your own. So hence why everybody is coming down with diseases that reflect what they've been injected with.
Right. Wow. Sure. So it's almost like a lot of these movies, like Avatar and so many others, are becoming like a form of conditioning. Is that what you would call it?
Well, as I say, it was a beautiful, beautiful movie. I was just agog at how good it was, as was Cindy. And we both looked at each other in earnest and said, but what's wrong with it? And this transhumanism issue is a gigantic issue, and it's right in your face. You just see it as fantasy. You see that aspect as fantasy, and that they're using that to drive home a bigger point where trees are connected to people, and you know what I mean? But in fact, it is playing out the science that's on its way.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I loved the movie, too, and I loved the message. And it was funny because right after I saw the movie, I went over to opednews.com. And I thought to myself, as I was thinking about the plot of the movie, I'm going, wow, this is just like what we're doing in Iraq. In Afghanistan, it's the same.
That's the parallel they wanted you to draw, and we all fell for it, because the real point was the one that was even more in your face, the blue half-man, half-other being.
Right, right. or the cyborg,
because the message
or whatever
was too beautiful, as I say, and you say, and Cindy said, it's too beautiful. What's wrong with it?
Yeah. Like,
well, anyway, that's what one man says, and it certainly does make sense. You know, nothing's ever finite, and I think we find that out as we look further and further into the 9/11 building collapses and all the many issues that have come to light. Is it an explosion? Is it Tesla technology? What is it, for crying out loud? And we need a we almost had it here in New York. 80,000 legitimate signatures were gathered, and they were denied ballot access for reopening this issue with subpoena power, and that's what's required. They were only asking what's required, and they delivered everything that was required, and they were denied anyway. Where is the law, for sure, but where is the law? Where is the law, man? Where is the justice? I'm not even asking for justice. I'm just saying. What exactly are the laws if you follow everything to a T and you still can't get it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that fell through, and it was so important that it didn't fall through, because we are entitled in every regard to know what's gone on. Everybody should know. It's ridiculous, and that people are above the law. And whatever technology was used, there are actual human beings that are responsible for that.
Right.
I always say follow the money. Who made money on 9/11? Let's start there.
Yeah, follow the money. I don't understand, in the realm of destroying the environment, for instance, do these people that are at the top that are making the decisions for us and causing the destruction, are they even wondering or thinking about what's going to happen to their own children?
That is always the big question, right? Do you really think that you're going to get away with this?
Yeah.
It's like the health care. What's the deal with that? Everybody has to prescribe to this health care except Congress and the president and their families.
Right.
What? Now, that's something we really have to work on. If they can, somebody proposed a 28th Amendment, any legislation that is brought by the Congress. The Congress is subject to the same legislation. You know, that's fair. It's nothing but fair.
Well, I think the 28th Amendment definitely should be the end of corporate personhood and move
mm-hmm.
to amend, but I definitely believe that we should have a 29th Amendment for health care, but we need to take the corporations out of these decisions that they're making on for us, where we have no say-so, and they have all
corporations, insurance companies. There are very few people who run the entire world, and they, you know, they have made their decisions very clear. They don't want us. They want us to go away. 90% of us must disappear because we're do not benefit them, you know? And Agenda 21, from what I understand, was created for just this purpose. That's the United Nations Agenda 21 for all. Now, let's talk for a second, if I can, about some bills, treaties, and what have you that need to be addressed. There
okay.
is a treaty that was just discussed in the two issues for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. One of them is a treaty for about disabled people. And basically, the state shall make all decisions concerning disabled people, and including disabled children. Their parents do not have any say whatsoever, and supposedly this treaty eradicates whatever laws exist in America. Now, this is, of course, what we're being told about our, you know, whether we invade a country or not. Everyone's going to check with the United Nations, and then they'll inform America what the deal is.
Right.
So no matter which way you turn, we are not making our own laws, and these treaties are supposedly, people have said we should pull out of the United Nations. If they're going to start, I know this health care bill, a surgeon described, if you're over 70, you don't get anything but a pat on the back, you know? And if you are a child or a disabled person or a disabled child, this treaty leaves no person in your family able to defend you. You know, so I'm just saying they're weeding out everyone, but let's say they decided to weed out a different group of people, people who weren't weak, like the elderly and the disabled, you know?
Right.
This is disgraceful. We are living in a disgraceful time, and we have to know what's going on in order to stop it. So that just went to a committee hearing in the Senate Finance Committee in Capitol Hill on Thursday. And we have to get the outcome of it, and we have to rally around the fact that this cannot occur. You can call it a parent rights issue. Certainly parentalrights.org is the one that brought it to my attention. But it's more about survival. All of these issues are, there's no reason for people not to survive other than to please the few who want more space and fewer people, you know? I know I worry about my friends who go to the Veterans Administration, because if they don't make it through, basically that's one less pension you got to pay. I'm worried about the retirees in Florida. Maybe they're getting hit as hard as they are because that's one less Social Security check that needs to be paid.
Well,
you know?
What I find here as I work with the elderly directly is that most of them will do whatever the doctor tells them to do. Most of them are on, like I just got done with a particular patient, the man, it was a couple actually, the man, I counted the medications that he was taking per day. He was taking something like 25 pills per day. And, of course, was suffering from extreme dementia. And this is how they keep these people. It's almost like if they can't warehouse them, if these people still have a slight ability to be able to function and care for themselves. But if not, they have, like you've been discussing, the state steps in and they end up in what's called a conservatorship, where they have someone that's like their case manager lording over them. But these people also get their money and get their property and everything else in exchange for the care that these people receive as they're failing, as they're getting on in years. So my question, and I do have a very good friend who is a writer who actually was on this show at one point. Her name is Janet Fallon, who's experiencing this in her own sphere of influence. So she's been able to fill me in on some of the stuff that's been going on in California on a very personal level. And this is all about the money, and this is all about the so-called warehousing of older people, especially if they own property and have money in the bank. That's like a big portion of this. So, like you said,
now I
money.
Interviewed an elderly Jewish woman years ago when I was trying to create the Women's Party, a movement for peace. And she told me something that other people have, or one other person has said, is untrue since. So I don't know if I'm representing correctly, but I don't see where it would have benefited the woman to lie.
Right.
Today we talk about everybody being, you know, you have a barcode on your arm or something, so that everybody's medical history is known and everybody's everything is known. Well, according to this elderly Jewish woman, the number on your arm reflected what you had in the bank.
Ooh, that's scary. I wonder if that was the case during Hitler's time.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The number on a person who is Jewish or disabled. I mean, he went after different groups too. It was certainly was not only Jewish people. Ask anybody who's gay. A lot of people who are gay gave a lot of money to the Holocaust Museum, and now it's the Museum of Jewish Heritage. You know, what happened to all the gay people who died? You know, I'm not laughing, but I mean, seriously, if they took their money, they must represent.
Yeah,
you know?
they also gassed the anybody that was differently abled. They gassed them too.
Oh, yeah, divide and conquer. Divide, we'll pick them off a little bit at a time. And
Phoenix,
have to read you something that is just so hilarious, if I can find it. My husband and I said to him, I'm going to run for president on the graft party. Yes, I'm running on the graft party. And we made up a list of things that I was going to run for. Are you ready? It's hilarious.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I promise more checkpoints. Don't have enough of those, right? Bigger bailouts. And then my husband came up with this one. Double the national debt in my first term. Of course, I added mandatory vaccinations, thicker chemtrails, lots more fracking, radiation, Monsanto, core exit. And, of course, we're going to accelerate the multiply the daily terror alerts.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to run on. That'll be my platform for the graft party.
Have you noticed, I'm just throwing this out there as you mentioned alerts. Have you noticed while listening to the radio or watching television, more of these alerts, you know, beep, beep, and then they stop the programming, and it's like they're testing the alerts.
In case of emergency, your television will not be working, so completely ignore these.
Yeah, well, I understand all that, but I'm wondering why they're interrupting so often now. They're interrupting the radio, they're interrupting the television with these so-called alerts, and I wonder if they're doing it to instill some type of fear or panic or whether it's some other subliminal reason, you know?
It's all part and parcel of the fact that if we're not scared, we're not paying attention. We must be scared at all times. Heighten your terror. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I used to have a really good poster about that, about what the yellow meant and the red meant. And very funny poster about, you know.
So tell the listeners what you are running for and what tell us a little bit about the campaign itself and who's helping you and what you've been able to do so far to spread the word about what you're doing.
Okay, well, years ago I was producing 1,000 shows in hospitals and homeless shelters, comedy shows, and then I got a public access show where I highlighted the organizations we served and the comics who performed with me. And people really paid attention to my public access television show. I recommend you do this if you have something to say, because I thought, people are really paying attention to me. I cannot... just because everybody recognized me everywhere I went in Manhattan. So I was like, oh, my Lord. So I decided to act responsibly. And after 9/11, I thought, well, you know, maybe we should create a coalition of compassion to, advise the president like the Iroquois women would choose their leaders, the Iroquois elder women would choose their leaders. Let us try to find a coalition of compassion of, elderly women from every country who've lived through several wars and want to see their grandchildren survive. Let us have these elders make recommendations to the president, whether he pays attention or not. Well, after 9/11, I really could not find any people of compassion. Everybody was buying into the fact that we should be afraid of people who hate us, and nobody wanted to be compassionate, even though in their souls, I'm sure they did, they were rising to the drums to war. You know, the drums to war were set. And so I started then the Women's Party, knowing that women were mistaken here. I'm like, this is not really the way women are. So I started to interview people in order to create a mission statement so I'd know if I was on the right track, right? Important to you? What's important to you? I asked 250 women who came on my program, including the woman I just spoke to you about, who was talking about the marks on their arms. And I said, what's important to you? And from that, I derived a mission statement, peace, education, which is not education for children. It is basically a lifetime of learning and growth. And I just want to say something. I heard somebody, you know, I always used to say what's important to you, right? Well, someone said to this woman, what do you fear most? And she said, I fear not learning, not growing. I thought, this is amazing. What is important is also what you fear not having. Isn't that interesting? But anyway, so it's peace, education, activism, which includes volunteerism. I mean, most women are active in the realm of volunteerism, but it means the world to them. You know, it really is an important defining thing for them. And I talk about them as if I ain't one. I certainly am one. And peace, education, activism. Respect. Now, there's your umbrella. Everything that is important in the world truly falls in this category. This would be the 90% of issues category, respect. And if we could afford to show that to one another, there would be no wars, you know, that would end it. And love. Now, I used to, one woman actually, when I asked her, she said chocolate. So I added that as a joke, right? Peace, education, activism, respect, and love. Love and chocolate. And when I was running for governor, trying to establish the Women's Party as a political party, that's the only way you can do it, is by running governors. I tried to get 11 other women to run with me. Needless to say, Anita, you know me. But so what happened was, the television crew in Albany, they said, there she is. Sally Old Cordy is running for governor on chocolate. That was the punchline. Now, if you look at my picture, anybody who's seen the picture flash on the screen, you'll know I'm a fat chick, right? So here I am, a fat chick starting the Women's Party, and my whole premise is chocolate. Yes, that was a real class act. The fellow who did that, I consider the prankster of the century. And I actually don't hate him for it, except that there was a lot riding on it. So, you know, anyway, so it's never easy. And so many things have happened, Anita, and that's what you want me to talk about. And I thank you for that, because it's important people understand when they try to make a difference, there are serious setbacks, disabling setbacks. And here they are. When I ran for the Women's Party, what they did was I went out to 600 different women's organizations. And I went about getting my signatures, and I had monthly town hall meetings, and no one was showing up, and I couldn't fathom it, because it was really the answer to the prayer of many women's organizations, is that they could take their sensibilities and put them first. You know, the initial Mother's Day March, Mother's Day was a movement for peace. Now, when they made a holiday of it, they took out the element of the fact that women were marching to get their boys back. Mothers were marching to get their boys back. And and condemning their government for doing this to their children, you know? So it was not, you know, bring mom a rose, unless, of course, you want to give her a rose to put on the grave of her son. So, anyway, where were we?
Yeah, the whole meaning has changed. The whole meaning today has changed, and it's become commercialized instead of, that's why on Mother's Day, even though I'm not a mother myself, I try to remind people that the day was created for peace, not for, you know, commercialism, taking your mother out to dinner and all that.
No, it was a day of rage. In fact, it was a day of rage. We want our sons back. How dare you, for your profit, kill our boys?
Could we, as a nation, demand that of mothers in other nations? How is that?
Right, exactly. It's what they ran in Israel, the wonderful program that Father from Israel started. Iran, we love you. We would never bomb you.
Yeah. Like, how is that an instrument of foreign policy? You know, I mean, when you think about it, you're trying to make peace with the world, but you're going to go to another nation and bomb their kids. I mean, you know, it reminds me, you know what I'm reminded of as we speak about this is I remember Cynthia McKinney actually being on the Hill and picking up a package, which was a food package that was being dropped, I think, in Afghanistan back in the early years of these last wars and occupations after 9/11. And they were packaged, these little MRE meals, in bright yellow, which matched small bomb incendiary devices that were also packaged almost identical. So when these things were dropped from the planes, the children were scrambling for them because they assumed it's yellow, these are MREs, these are food I can take back to my family. And some of them were getting blown up. I mean,
oh my God.
Yeah, this, and there's a picture of Cynthia holding both packages as she's talking on the hill. She's holding one of the incendiary devices in her hand, and she's holding the MRE package in her other hand, and they're almost identical. I mean, that's genocide. That's genocide. You can't say that that's anything.
War is genocide. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Whether it comes in the form of a packet or a bullet or a vaccine, that's what it is. And,
right.
You know, it really drives me berserk before we get back to how they can screw with you if you're trying to run for office. There's a nice kid called Jeremy Giles. He's an actor. He came up with an idea. We could have a ceasefire for one day, called Peace One Day. Brought it to the United Nations. They embraced him. They created a day for peace. Guess what they do on that day for peace? They send in much-needed doctors with much-needed vaccines. And as I had this great picture of this child going, you don't have food, you just have vaccines, you know what I mean? This, of course, is a depopulation agenda, and very deliberately so. So I wanted to go with a World Can't Wait. They have an anti-recruitment to the military program, and I said I'd really love to bring to educate people about vaccines. May I go with you, please, because they're targeting children at every age now. So they said it was difficult enough to get in the door as it was, and I said I completely concede and know that this is true, and I admire the work you do, and I have to tell you how Anne Wright cleverly dealt with this. Ooh, interesting. But anyway, I'll get to that in a second. I said I'd like the program to be called Stop the Shot, Both Kinds, and I really thought that that would be a powerful thing, and I knew I could never get in to talk about vaccines all by myself. I would actually need to ride their coattails. But Anne Wright, when I went to a Code Pink meeting, I almost got thrown out because they were saying that children need to sign a list saying they don't want to be bothered by recruiters. I said, well, the day that the draft comes, and it's coming, those kids are going to be put in the front lines. What are you, crazy? Don't do that. Don't make children sign away. Don't put them on a list of any kind. The last list Bush had wanted was a list of women who had late-term abortions. What the hell are you going to do with that list? You know what I mean? Don't put your name on a list. So anyway, so they basically threw me out because I wasn't going with their agenda, and I was saying, listen, I'm the only one here who has kids, and I'm telling you, I don't want my kids' names on some list. They're not old enough to be on a list. Put me on a list, but not them. So we went to hear Anne Wright after that. And she said, I was on my way to Canada to pick up a prize for peace, and I got stopped because my name was on a list. And I looked back at all the women who had thrown me out of the meeting earlier, and I'm like, you know, she's like, but basically the list started under W because, and there was a much older activist with her who wasn't on a list because they didn't used to put peace activists on a list. You know, that's not
right.
The kind of person that they were looking for, supposedly. So, yeah. So let's get back. Okay, so the first time they held my mail at the post office. After signatures, they returned it. And even though I had mailed it from many different post boxes, it was re-delivered to me, unable to deliver. Now, it was correctly posted, correctly addressed. It was just stamped unable to deliver. You've never received anything from the post office back called unable to deliver. I guarantee it. I never have. And so I got it in batches of 10, even though I mailed them individually, okay?
Right.
yeah, after signatures were due. So that, obviously, they had prevented me from prevailing, and I could have prevailed had they not. So they did, it was very effective. And I went to the post office, and I was talking to a woman there, and she worked there. She had two boys over in Iraq, and she was dying to see a woman's party. She's like, what a great idea. I love this, you know. And so we're getting on like moms do. And so I said, well, this is what happened when I did that. And they returned it to me, and I said, so what do you think happened? She said, it's the government, duh. And she wasn't being glib. She was just saying, you know, let's get real here. All right, so fine. Next time I run for governor, they screw up my website. One of them got a virus. Another one, I would have to type 12 captions to send out a single email. Maybe it would go. You know, they really, really disabled me. And then the next time, 2 weeks, Then the next time, 2 weeks before the election, they locked me out of Facebook, and I had to submit my driver's license or passport ID, and I was allowed to block the number of it. Oh, that was nice of them. And send it in. So I sent it in, even though I didn't want to, but I really needed to get back in. The election was in 2 weeks, right? And
right.
They only allowed me to have a new Facebook, so I could never get back into my old Facebook until just recently, okay? So years have gone by, and I've been in the, you know, same person with an extra letter, my new initial. But anyway, so the last time I ran was this time I was running for Congress, and they disabled my website. I made 5,000 cards, and they disabled my website. So I have 5,000 cards directing people to a disabled website. And, you know.
So, and I looked up your website tonight, and I wasn't able to pull it up.
Of course not.
So
they
I don't know what happened there.
That. Yeah, for the first couple of days, it actually said your website has been disabled. You know, you'd have to wonder what they did with it. They disabled it. Got it.
Wow.
So, yes, it is wow. It is, it, you should be disturbed, and I certainly was like, you know, like that. I was like walking around talking to myself because four times now, you know? So as a result, I thought this is, you know, the censorship, which gets back to where we met with Cynthia, right? But the censorship, and in terms of the Gulf, I love the fact that you started a radio show, and that Denise Rednauer started a radio show. And I basically was saying to you, you have to be your own press. They're never going to cover you, you know? So I want to say that that I'm talking to Anita Stewart, who's on the Gulf in Florida, and she can really lay it out for you in no uncertain terms how targeted they have been and how sick and dying everyone is.
Yeah,
I say that because people really need to know it hasn't gone away. No matter how many commercials BP sponsors, it's not better. It's worse.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We have many, many sick people here. And it's a situation where everything is so misdiagnosed by the doctors because we have doctors that are not trained in toxicity. And so everything's misdiagnosed and the wrong medications are prescribed and these people are getting stuff like steroids and things like that for allergic reactions. And these are very clearly toxic effects that they're experiencing. So I would say don't believe the hype. I forget who sang that, don't believe the hype. Who sang that? Wasn't it?
I don't know the song. I know the expression, but not the song.
Yeah, I think it comes from Run DMC, but I'm not sure. No. Public Enemy. Public Enemy. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype coming from BP, because they've got commercials that are in constant running play. That the beaches are great and they're clean and the seafood is okay to eat and. Come on.
You know
what
would be great if they made those commercials before the oil spill? Because if everything looks clean, they probably pre-made those commercials.
No, they didn't pre-make them because they're talking. They're talking about the toxic effects. You know, oh well, you know, ever since this and that, and now we've got clean beaches. We've been really working hard on the cleanup. But yeah, the film footage, I would say, is probably from, you know, 5 years ago. But what they're saying is they're definitely referring to what happened in 2010 and how they've cleaned it up and how they've worked so hard to get it right, you know. And
well,
they're full.
There's evidence constantly that I went across that this was preconceived. Everything is preconceived in this nation. We are the nation of preconceived disaster.
Yeah. And I really think that for a time they were really trying to create some kind of disaster in the heartland with all the rain and flooding from last year.
And there was no report anywhere, Anita. Thank you for bringing that up. I was like, I've seen videos. Why isn't anyone covering this?
What was it called? The sand? It was the fault that's in the middle of the country, you know,
mm-hmm.
along the Mississippi River and Indiana and all those different places. But what are they
called?
The
breadbasket, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but there was a name for the fault line, and I can't think of it now. But in any case, they were really trying to saturate. It's almost like there was weather modification going on.
And
they
why
saturating
isn't
it
in Colorado as we speak, as everything burns to a crisp?
Yeah. So it's one disaster after another, and I'm not sure when people are going to finally realize that these aren't just happening out of the blue, that I just really believe that there's some depopulation agenda at work here. And people
right,
need
but
to
I
be...
do think that the Gulf Coast is the poster part of the country for the malintent. And this is what I have been saying since it happened. I said, I want you to see what happens down there, and I want you to know it's coming to your neck of the woods. This is just the first step of what
right.
they have. Their plan of fulfilling their plan, like the vaccines. They create antibodies. Nobody's ever said, and that's bad for you. They're fulfilling
right.
their plan.
Exactly. So it is time for people to actually, well, I spoke with Cindy Sheehan just a couple of days ago on the phone, and basically I had said, you know, give me a ring, I need to ask you some questions, and she called me, and my main question was, you know, was she coming here to the RNC, because I had offered my home if she needed a place to stay, and she and I talked about her recreating revolutionary communities and how we needed that now more than ever. We also discussed, you know, politics and running for office. And, you know, she's totally down on that idea for now anyway. She says, I'm totally out of the whole politics thing. And she said, really recreating revolutionary communities is the way to go. So we discussed at length what steps we were taking, you know, she wants to do some herbal, learn some herbal healing and things like that. I said, there's going to come a time when people aren't going to be able to afford to go to the doctor, and we need to know what to do to help ourselves. And we discussed that at length. And
problem with that, honestly, is the fact that we're contaminating everything that grows. You know,
yeah.
I was telling my neighbor, she and I have fruit trees. I have a peach tree. She has a plum tree. And hers developed fully, but the squirrels wouldn't touch them for the first time ever. I have peaches which have just stopped growing at a specific time, but the squirrels would have normally eaten them by now. So here I have fruit that is no longer growing, and the squirrels wouldn't touch them. She had to grow full out, and again, so if the animals are telling us there's something very, very bad in your soil.
Yeah, well, the soil here doesn't promote a lot of growth. I've had a lot of problems trying to grow vegetables here. It's really funny because the ornamentals will grow just fine. Anything that I plant that's a flower will thrive.
You're right. You're so right about that. Good point.
Yeah, anything that's a vegetable or a fruit or an herb or anything, if I stick it in the ground. So now, out in the back, and I think this is more appropriate for people that are also renting, you know, because we don't own the property. We have permission from the landlord to do whatever we need to do in the garden. She's told us that. But I just don't have the money to plunk down on getting organic soil and lining, you know, the house with it all the way around. But she has given us permission to do what we need to do. But right now, we've got some topsy-turvies for tomatoes. We have some, you know, some things in pots, very few, some herbs and things like that. But I really want to start planting big time. I made a comment to Leon this past week, and I told him, I said, I think there's going to come a time when the only thing we have to eat is what's coming out of these plants. So I know where I can get my seeds, and I have that person already picked out, and he can tell me what's going to grow and advise me as he sells me the seeds. So I already have that person lined up.
Well, there's something about, what do they call them, heritage seeds? So you know,
yeah,
you're getting
heirloom.
Good seeds?
Yeah, heirloom seeds. Yeah.
Mm. Heirloom, that's it. Heritage. Heirloom seeds, right. I would like to tell you a little bit about the NDAA and where we are in our fight against that.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. I had brought it up earlier, and you said expound on it, and I continued in another direction. But, restore the Bill of Rights. Well, that is not really multifaceted. It's just leave us the heck alone. What's the matter with you people? But the nitty-gritty is the NDAA said that you could be arrested without even charges that you will ever know or whom made them. And without trial, be put in prison here or abroad indefinitely. And you could be accused of being a terrorist for things as frivolous as storing 7 days of food. And that's not even frivolity. That could be necessity, depending on how things turn out in this country, you know? Why wouldn't the government want you to be prepared? And early, they should be encouraging you to be prepared, right? It just makes sense. So that would be something that would cause you to be called a terrorist. That is a sad day. That is a very sad day because we're having a hard time growing things. And to have things that are readily available that you can draw upon just makes sense. And no government should wish to deprive their citizenry of food. So there are other things, too. If you're somebody said if you dye your hair, you're trying to be disguised. I'm like, you're kidding. I can't tell you how many people I know dye their hair. Wouldn't they be stunned, you know? Missing a couple of fingers, having a gun, of course, that's not a total surprise that people want to be disarmed. In fact, Ron Paul said the smartest thing I've ever heard. He said that they told Libya that they are not allowed to have nuclear arms. And Libya agreed, and look what we did to them. And I was like, boy, there's a quote that was never repeated. But I heard it in one of those debates, and I thought, what a fine point you just made, you know. Don't have any weapons, be you Iran or be you a citizen of the United States, and see what you'll get. So I was listening to someone who said that this went into effect in the UK, and that things are really bad as a result, which is very sad to hear that people are, you know, being taken advantage of as a result, but not surprising, you know, and who knows by whom, whoever truly knows. There are so many things that are being done that you don't really know the agenda behind them until the repercussions have already set in, you know?
It's really funny that the, as far as being on the Facebook news feed and actually looking at the Facebook news feed, almost every single activist that I knew that I was communicating with in England I have not been getting their updates in my news feed. I find that very unusual, the fact that certain things are censored from the news feed on Facebook. I wish there was a way to get off of Facebook and still be able to communicate with the people that I am in touch with, but that would be almost impossible to be able to stay and maintain contact with everyone. Because
I think being on the grid is being on the computer and being on a cell phone, and probably it's a good idea if everybody who doesn't have a landline get one, just because it's not on that particular grid. It's not to say that too can't go down. I'm sure it can, but it's at least not on the multi-circuitry that the cell phones and the computers are on.
What I've done with a couple of people that are close to me in regards to proximity is we've exchanged landline phone numbers just in case of any kind of emergency. So if the grid does go down and the cell phones do go down and we don't have internet access, now that, you know, our fearless leader has a kill switch and can turn all that off on a whim with his new executive order.
Well, my website
but anyway,
just
I do,
went down. My website
yeah, I
just
do
got
feel,
killed.
Yeah, I feel much safer having the landline. And it's funny because Leon has always said, we don't need the landline. Why are we paying for the landline? We don't need it. And I've told him many times, if there's a hurricane or anything, and this is for sure true, if there's a hurricane down here, the cell phones go down, the TV goes down. Sometimes you'll find a radio station that's up, but not often. But the landlines don't go down. And if you're in a household and you've got all this stuff going down and you don't have a landline, you virtually have cut off your communication.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
For that reason alone, I think it's safe to maintain a landline if you live in Florida. So at least you can
right.
dial out. You know.
Right. You're probably more spread out than we are. We're not very spread out because we live near Manhattan, you know. So everybody's kind of...
Oh, I'm 30 miles out in the middle of nowhere. I'm pretty much...
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm 50 miles from Tampa, and I'm 50 miles from Orlando. So I'm kind of like in between those two places. And I'm pretty much in the country. The nearest store, well, we have a corner store, which is a quarter mile away, which is, you know, you don't want to buy food there or anything because it's really expensive. It's like a truck stop gas station. But the nearest grocery store is about 5-6 miles away from here. So we're pretty much in the woods. And, you know, it would be, if we didn't have a car out here, we'd be in big trouble, too. So there'd be no way to get anywhere because there's no
public
transit.
Well, I want to wish you a happy Friday the 13th.
Well, it's been an interesting day, and, you know, I just got some bad news personally and was really just, this morning really was just thinking about options and what I was going to do and, you know, so I was really just trying to chill today and try to not stress my brain too much. And it rained quite a bit today, so there was a lot of things I wanted to do on the internet, and for a time I couldn't even get access. So I thought...
Well, I wanted to tell you about two things that are good news. Are you ready for some good news?
Sure.
Okay. The first one is that there's three things, actually. There's a lawsuit regarding chemtrails, a very large lawsuit regarding chemtrails. I believe it's called United States versus NASA. That's pretty big, right? And
that's
there's going
big.
To be a very large convention, I believe it's this weekend, in Los Angeles, the largest convention ever, with huge speakers, very knowledgeable people, not the least of which, and there are so many that I know I'm going to miss out on saying a lot of big names, but there's a fellow by the name of Cornicon, Murphy, Moray, and many other very familiar names speaking about this. But there's been a large lawsuit filed that I just saw before I got off the computer, so I can't give the details, but after this convention, I'm sure we're going to know more about it. And I'll certainly keep people abreast of that. I have a chemtrail website, another page on Facebook called Operation Blue Sky NYC. I have a vaccine injury page called International Vaccine Injury Awareness, and another one called National Vaccine Victims Memorial. That we're trying to get put on the mall in Washington, D.C. because of the war on our children at our government's hand. They really do need to know that we want this memorial. We will never be able to fit all the names on it because the mall isn't that big. If we wrapped it twice, it's not that big. But they need to understand that we are holding them accountable for these children and their quick demise and their long-term demise. This brings about cancer, diabetes in the long run. In the short run, we're talking SIDS, shaken baby syndrome, certainly autism, which has skyrocketed at the same rate that the number of vaccines they're injecting our children has skyrocketed, and paralysis, detached retinas, inability to walk, just on and on and on we go. As many bad things as can happen to a body can happen as a result of a vaccine. And all they're doing is their job. They're there to create antibodies. So I don't mean
wow.
to be rude, but I'm just so sick of it. I am sick of it. Anyway, what else?
We talked about the NDAA.
The NDAA.
Chemtrails, we talked about. I'm trying to
Well, we didn't get to the NDAA because the good news about the NDAA is that on March 2nd, I got Rosie Mendez, local councilwoman for New York City. If this goes through, 8 million people will have said, we resolve that the National Defense Authorization Act does not apply to us. 8 million New Yorkers. How do you like that? So I finally got an answer back. Oh, she said yes right away. I looked at her with such a genuine love. I have never felt the love I felt for her that day toward anyone ever. And finally I did hear back from her legislative person to say that he's tweaking it and he'll be getting it to me. So that's March, April, May, June, July. So like 4.5 months before I heard an update. So I was concerned, and I've involved many people to get on board and keep the petitions that I have circulated. And again, if you want a petition to nullify the NDAA at the state level, which can be used also for local resolutions, contact me at peace4peace@gmail.com, and I will send you a nullification petition form, which is what got me this interview to begin with. Now, I know, actually, Rosie, from interviewing her myself previously, and I've appealed to her for the women at the shelter saying they're being locked out of their homes that they are up to date in payments of and being shoved into shelters and forced to take drugs and shoved into hospitals. This one woman lived there for 3 years. How much did that cost the state? Then they're given a guardian who watches their money, which means they'll never see their money again. And how many atrocities can you count in one walking out of a home, you know? So
yeah, this is what Janet Solan has been writing about, the conservatorship for people that are differently abled or especially seniors, which are definitely a victimized portion of our population.
Rosie heard me. I told her about it, and she wrote legislation. She wrote legislation that talked about giving, like, criminals get a court-appointed attorney. Any senior on the verge of losing their home would get a court-appointed attorney. She really heard me, you know? And I'm not saying that she wouldn't have wanted to anyway, but at least I could give her, this is what's really happening to senior citizens. I'm meeting them in the shelters, and they shouldn't be there. They're not kidding. When they say I shouldn't be there, they're right. They shouldn't. It's been a forced situation.
Yeah, they're losing their homes in exchange for
rental
help.
Properties. This is, she wrote it for people with mortgages and rental.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so the NDAA is moving along locally. I'm having a hard time at the state level. I just spoke to a very wise woman who I interviewed previously, Joan Weil, to see if she could speak to her, a local state representative, and see if they have not just the decency, but the courage. It takes courage to say to the federal government at the state level, not in my backyard, you know? So we need someone who is a good person, but a courageous person. So that's what she's now further looking into, because my two leads have fallen flat, unfortunately, and I, you know, it's just that's how the cookie crumbled. But I put a lot of time into them to no avail. Anyway,
let's talk about the event that's happening this weekend, a huge event that happens once a year. And it usually always happens right around the dark moon in the middle, you know, in July, whenever that dark moon is. And that is Bohemian Grove. So that's happening this weekend. And if people are really, really sharp and really doing their research, they will notice that most of the big-time leaders and CEOs are nowhere to be found on this weekend because they're at the Boho Grove. And, they're doing basically rituals and weird, weird traditions and mimicking sacrifices. They might even be doing real sacrifices for all we know. So tell us a little bit about what you know about that.
I only know what I've seen on YouTube. I really know that I had heard that there was something that was supposed to transpire of that nature in Colorado. And that was a couple of weeks ago, I guess, by now. And I had heard that if they're doing sacrifices, that people have heard from a location near in Colorado somewhere, screams that went unheard. It went heard but unanswered. So if you're talking about sacrifices and there are people screaming, I don't think they're rehearsing shrieking. I think probably someone is in dire trouble.
Yeah, well, this big thing that happens every year, now if they're doing it in Colorado, this is a new location, but I just
That was like at this point a while ago.
I just put this in a Google News search. And there is some up-to-date articles that are being written by the local media there. Let's see. I'm going to pull them up right now. Hang on just a second because I did have them. Somehow I deleted them. So let me put it in again, and I can give you the title.
I want you to know this is very interesting in terms of sacrifices. I was watching a program on the History Channel. And they were saying that the Mayans, this is really interesting because to show you how far they are from what the intent is, according to the Mayans, the ritual was a killing of the king. Okay? That's what the Mayans said needed to be sacrificed, the king. Okay? They have misinterpreted this somehow to mean.
Yeah.
Babies,
now, this article.
Women. What? Who are they sacrificing? It's not the king?
Yeah. It's hard to say. Now, this article is out of the, I just pulled it up and it just came out, I think, about, earlier today, but it was from the PressDemocrat.com, which is, I guess, their local paper there for Northern California, wherever this takes place. It's, I can tell you, it's near Monterio, California. Anyway, the title of the article is Opening of Bohemian Grove Encampment Draws Small Protest. And it says, the opening of the annual Bohemian Grove Encampment near Monte Rio was marked Friday by a handful of protesters with a wide array of grievances against the more than 2,000 wealthy members of the Bohemian Club. Lauren Murray, the scientist, traveled from Berkeley. Yeah, she's a great wise woman. Traveled from Berkeley to protest the powerful corporate participants at the annual encampment. Those are not just nice businessmen camping out, she said. These are the benefactors of and sponsors of the most horrific weapons of mass destruction in the history of the world. So
well,
if anybody
wants in that.
Yeah, if anybody wants to go to that article, it's The Opening of Bohemian Grove Encampment Draws Small Protest. It's written by Carrie Benefield, Benefield, in the PressDemocrat.com. So I'm looking at it now, and this has just taken place today, and it will probably last all weekend. I did look up when the dark moon is. So that means the phase is actually in a waning state, the moon phase. So I don't know if that's significant, but every time they're doing this event, it's usually near the dark moon in the month of July. So there's some kind of significance with that date as well. So,
there always seems to be significance in numbers and dates and all kinds of things that are known to those on the inside, but certainly people are on to the fact that they're up to no good, just flat out up to no good.
Yeah, very Illuminati, very dark energies, definitely. And I really probably am feeling a portion of that today, as I do consider myself an empath. And I probably need to go to bed tonight and just really surround myself with some white light. But usually during this time of July, I am kind of in the doldrums. I've had some personal stuff going on this week, but definitely been more down energy-wise than normal. So we'll definitely be trying to lift myself up this weekend, just doing some things that give me bliss, that's for sure. But,
well, that's true, but sometimes you have to let yourself be down, you know? Sometimes you just have to say, well, this is my time to be down. And I'm not going to
well,
fight
I never
it.
Got
I'm just
out of
going
the,
to explore.
Yeah, I never got out of the jammies today. I stayed in the jammies all day. I'm still in the jammies. So it felt
well,
kind
as they
good.
Say, I posted this today, that nothing does more to lift your spirits than getting up and taking a 10-minute walk, which is what my dog is just terrific for. Getting
right.
me out of my thoughts and just taking me out for a walk and being in the sunshine, but the chemtrails, of course, are impeding my sunshine. I'm a stargazer, and they're impeding my stargazing, and we're breathing them in, and sometimes they're so heavy we get dry rain. Dry rain is rain you cannot see, but you can feel a tiny, tiny, tiny little pricks, and then you go in, you know, get out of the open air, get under a shelter, stop, step out again, and yet you can't see it. But what you can see is unfathomably heavy, heavy spraying material over your head. And you wonder, when will the sky fall? Well, it does. It falls in this dry rain.
Right. And
it's
I've
terrible.
Seen that.
It's terrible.
Another thing that I've seen here as far as weather is at night when I go out, there is it's not even like a mist or a moist mist. It's almost like a fog, but we don't have fog here in the summer. So I just wonder a lot of times whether this is Fukushima fallout, because normally every other year they would say, well, the air index is such and such, and we have really bad air quality to get today, and then they give you a number. And lately they haven't done that at all. So I'm wondering, and when you see something like that, a mist, that's normally when they do it. But this year, it has not happened. They have not been talking about poor air quality. So I wonder sometimes if that fallout has reached Florida. I saw a couple static maps where it showed it had not, that we were one of the states that was actually spared from it. But I'm beginning to doubt that now. So just simply because of what I've been seeing visually, you know, what I can see, like when I go out in the morning and walk the dogs. And you're like me. I get up first thing in the morning and I walk with the dogs a half a mile at least. So they do get me up out of bed in the morning. And it feels good. It feels good to take a walk then. but
you know if our president's going to be at Bohemian Grove? Is he part of that group?
Probably.
Well, the reason
probably,
I bring it up is he signed an executive order for every holiday. And I'm, you know, quaking in my boots. This is Friday the 13th. I wouldn't call it a holiday, but what's being signed today or what's going
to
happen today, you know?
I would venture to say that if anybody wanted to actually do their research, they could probably find the president and the vice president in California this weekend. And if they are in California, I would bet my bottom dollar that they're at the Boho Grove. You know, I would say if anybody really wants to pursue that, for me, I just want to work on the energy right now that's surrounding me. And I want
right,
to flip that.
I'm praying that there are no executive orders being signed as we speak.
Yeah. Well, the executive order, the big one, was this week or I think it was the end of last week or the beginning of this week was when he signed the executive order to flip the, you know, that he has the right to flip the kill switch on any type of communications.
Oh, yeah,
so,
absolutely, July 6th. Yep.
Yeah, so that is really, really, really scary.
Well,
so,
I think it's ironic that everybody was up in arms over SIPA, ACTA, SOPA, and all he has to do is sign an executive order. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. So he has the right to turn the internet off, and it basically, this is just like a huge, it's a huge setup where he can flip the switch, and then we can't all of a sudden communicate with one another. This could happen, especially
right.
if
absolutely it could happen. You know, who do you complain to about it? The worst atrocities have more co-sponsors than we have senators practically. I mean, this bill, this SR-380, where they take diplomacy off the table, I've never heard of anything like this in my whole life. You're forcing us to go to war? We have to go to war with people we don't hate?
Yeah, this is what they want. This is what they want. And it's like they're setting themselves up to carry it out with impunity, you know, with no recriminations back on them whatsoever.
Well, all I can say is it's all the criminals in the world are in California this weekend. I hope more than just Lorraine Murray is objecting to it. I'm fairly sure Cindy's down there, too.
Cindy might be down there. I can't remember whether she said she was going to be there or not. I can't even remember if I asked her or not. Maybe she told me.
No, I thought I saw somewhere that Cindy Sheehan was, but I can't, you know, I don't know.
I know that Cindy Sheehan is pretty sure that she's not coming to the RNC, and she probably will be going to the DNC. So those were her plans as I spoke with her. You know, we discussed those for a little bit, and she thought it was more important.
Cindy Sheehan was used by the Democrats to take power. She was used. They all got on the bandwagon. We're with her. We want peace. We want peace. And as she says, today, and I've quoted her so often on this, the Democrats and the Republicans are the left and right wing, left and right arms of the war party.
Right. Exactly.
Period. And she feels used, and she was used, and she's up in arms. So I can imagine she's not in arms, but certainly her arms are up, as everyone soon will be, as everyone soon will be.
The Green Party Florida co-chair, Jennifer Sullivan, talks about the twin powers of evil. Instead of the twin towers, she says the twin powers of evil, and that's the expression she uses when she refers to the Republican and Democratic parties.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that makes perfect sense because that's exactly what they
well,
are.
Well, I've also seen a really good graphic with the Twin Towers themselves with the Bill of Rights on them.
Oh,
being
interesting.
Attacked. That was a very powerful visual.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you see that, if you find that again, post it to my wall because I'd really like to see that. And
I'll definitely look for it.
Yeah. But Yeah, this is we are, you know, we are really, I believe, in a time of madness. I don't think people are even thinking about what they're doing, and I think everybody is just in desperation mode. They're either trying to keep their head above water, treading water just to make sure they can keep their households going, and I've never seen people compromise themselves like they're doing now. Like, people that are talking about peace are all of a sudden very warlike. People that are saying that they don't, you know, that they're advocates.
Well, there's a picture of Christ turning the tables over in
yeah.
the temple of the merchants. And
right.
There comes a time when you've run out of cheeks to turn.
Right. I mean, people that say they're advocates for the poor and then shit on the poor. You know, this. I've seen all of this within the past several months, and frankly, it makes me really scared to even leave my house because I keep saying to myself, "What's going to happen next?" So I'm in.
Well, we have to, because we know, at least we must be educators. You know, those who have the knowledge have the responsibility of doing something. Even if it's just as I do, when I walk the dog, I distribute my list of educational links called Billion Toddler March for Survival. Oh, I want to give people tips on how they can communicate vaccine injury. I, of course, put have cards made up, and I made up labels for the backs of all my cards that give really important websites. And I target parents, because when you're walking down the street, you don't have time to talk to everyone, but you certainly must talk to parents, especially with the litany of things that I have that concern them, including the National Defense Authorization Act, which people don't realize. Stuart Rhodes of the Oath Keepers is the only one who brought this up, and I echo what he has to say, because it reeks of trafficking. He said, basically, this is not just adults that can be targeted and sent away forever here or abroad. Well, if it's not just adults, that includes children, and I don't think that they're going to pay to feed children 3 meals a day when there's a bounty on them to be used elsewise, you know?
Mm.
And I don't mean to be really a bummer, but this is a reality. It is a very profitable pursuit, I think more so than the drug trade is the human trade. And old people like you and me falling apart every which way, no offense, we're not very interesting to that. But able-bodied kids, they are. And the ones who are not irretrievably damaged from the vaccines will have a use.
Yeah, I can tell you what was really scary, and the picture affected me really, and I sent it to Cynthia. She was able to track down who took the picture, but when the whole Libya thing was going on, somebody sent me a picture, and it was really horrific. As you know, in Arab countries, they don't think too much of dogs. Dogs are really not really good. I mean, they're cursed. They're like a cursed animal in the Quran. But American troops and NATO troops use dogs, especially bomb-sniffing dogs or cadaver-sniffing dogs. So dogs must have been sent to Libya. But in any case, the picture that I got was two children in a dog crate. And it was a crate for a large dog. Probably a German Shepherd or something like that. But in any case, these two children were in the crate. They were dirty. One was not clothed. And I went in the bathroom and I threw up as soon as I saw the picture. And I said, what they're doing is they're bringing the dogs into Libya to sniff the bombs and sniff for cadavers or whatever. And they're loading those crates up with human cargo. And they're sending those out. And the picture is still in my mind, and I can't forget about those children, and I wonder where they are all the time. I think about them.
So, well, I think about the 500,000 children in Iraq who don't exist anymore. I used to pray for the kids there, and then I realized, well, I don't think they're alive, so why am I, what am I doing, you know?
Yeah.
I really, 500,000 children, you know, that's why I quote James Madison all the time. What you do to others will come home to roost on you. You know,
we
carry a burden of guilt. We can absolve ourselves to a certain degree by the fact that we really, really didn't know what was going on over there. This was a top secret atrocities were top secret. And the people who wanted to report what was really going on never made it home. So you look at all the suicide rate elevating, and that's another issue I talk about, because I always, you know, say if there's a draft, you know, I don't want a draft, not because I don't want you to die, my son, but because I don't want you to live with what you've done, my son.
Yeah. If people realized that human trafficking is the hugest, most prolific money-wise exporting and importing in the world, this is what's being done. This is how corrupt our whole system is, and this is global. This is an industry that's billions and trillions of dollars, what they're doing to these children. And it's not just foreign children. It's children right in our own country.
Well, I have a very good video on YouTube called Red Flags for Identifying Trafficked Children. It's a list of everything you can use to identify. And one thing in particular, I mean, it's a whole laundry list. But one thing in particular is... And once I read it, I thought, oh, my gosh, I've seen people like this, and I never put it together. Like if you see a young person washing a car, very scantily clad, in 10-degree weather, that's a trafficked child, you know? I mean, I've seen things that I, like, couldn't believe my eyes. Like, what is the matter with these parents leaving this child, you know? And indeed, it wouldn't have been a situation of parents. That child was probably trafficked. I interview a man who wrote legislation that I helped get passed because I went out to so many women's organizations to stand up for this legislation, basically treating American children the way foreign children are treated when they are found to be trafficked. American children who are sex-ploited are treated like prostitutes, and foreign children are treated like abused children. So this is a most peculiar thing in our own country, and this one legislator sought to correct that and achieved it, and his legislation, which did pass in a down economy, which is why I will always love Governor Patterson. He is a great man. He signed bills that there was no money behind, but were the right thing to do over and over again. I wrote him a thank you letter when he was run out on a rail because of some made-up thing so that they could give him a black eye, you know. But I wrote him a letter of everything I was grateful for that he had done, and I thought when I looked at it, what a laundry list of do-gooder legislation you have signed into. You have affected so many people who need help. Well, he was a good, good man, our Governor David Patterson.
And what is he up to now?
Well, as I say, he was ran out on a rail through some, you know, everybody in New York knows that the man was just thrown to the wolves. But what is he up to? I hope he's enjoying life. Somebody said that they had seen him at a film festival, and I said, well, good for him, a blind man getting out to a film festival. There are a lot of indicators in films. It's so interesting. If you ever watch a film with your eyes closed how many different ways they communicate to you that are other than visual, you know, that you don't pick up on unless your eyes are closed. So I would say to you, if you want to have a different experience, watch a film without watching it. Just close your eyes and listen to the sounds beyond the speech or music. There are background sounds like planes, clocks ticking, things that you don't really pick up on if you're watching it. That's a complete aside. I don't know where I came up with that. Sorry.
Wow. Well, a lot of the things that you've talked about, especially this movie, I would really like to see that movie. We're going into the last few minutes of the show. Believe it or not, these 2 hours have just really flown by. And I wanted to, in parting moments, I just wanted you to give us a real quick rundown on where you see yourself in 5 years. And do you see yourself in the rocking chair, or do you see yourself still working in 5 years?
Well, it depends in 5 years where our country is, which I wish I could say I'm going to have an impact on. But I am such a loser. I work so hard on so many different issues, and I rarely have a victory. When I do, I celebrate it like you can't imagine, because everything I do, I try to get other people to come with me and help me. And there are just so many different issues I'm working on concurrently at all times. You know, everything's at a different, you know, in a different place in terms of how I have succeeded or failed, but there, you and I are attacking issues that are multifaceted or many issues. So I'm just constantly trying to address any problem. Every problem has to have a solution, so I feel like it's up to me to try to figure out what it is as fast as I can and get people to act as swiftly as is necessary, because I hate complaining about things after it's a done deal. I try desperately to stop things before they go wrong, because you will not find me complaining about them or protesting against them. My entire modus operandi is to prevent. And then there is an entire sect of people who protest. That's not me. Not my style. The only time I ever protested something, it was because I couldn't get people to a candlelight vigil to prevent, to the British Embassy for Wakefield. We were trying to prevent them from taking his license away, so I tried to get a candlelight vigil at the British Embassy prior to this decision so that we could call attention to the fact that we feel this would be a travesty of justice. And nobody made it, not because they were, you know, they only wanted to be there if he was there, but because they're autism moms and they can't just take off and do whatever they want whenever they want. You know, their children have to be in programs to free them up. So when they could be free is just after they had taken his license away. So it was the most beautiful reunion of people, because he was publicly embarrassed and stripped of his title, which his co-worker was not. Luckily, his co-investigator has seen justice, thank goodness, John Walker Smith. But Dr. Andrew Wakefield was the goat. They went after him, and they did everything they can to diminish him. And if anybody listened to any of his interviews, it's not hard to see how well he knows what he speaks of, and the adoration of the parents who he takes seriously and listens to, and all of his prognoses have come as a result of listening to parents. So
we've got just about 90 seconds left, so I just wanted to make sure that people
Don't go to SallyOLCourtyForCongress.com. It's been disabled. But please
do have a
please
link.
Please join Peace Party on Facebook, all capital letters with a dove. Peace Party, all capital letters with a dove.
Okay, that's the way you find it. As soon as she has a website, we'll be sure to post it under under her post on the wisewomenmedia.posteris.com, we wanted to also acknowledge our sponsors, Roundtree 7, Here Be Monsters, Daughters of Isis, Voodoo, Power New Media and Public Relations, Tarot and Stars, and Florida Nature Photos. And please, if you can, donate after tomorrow at the WePay link. And we're going down to 32 seconds. I want to thank you, Sally, for being on the show with us tonight and for giving us so much insight into so many of these different issues. And we'll definitely have you on again. We also want to promote your campaign, too. So we will be here next week, same time, same place. And thank you for listening to the Wise Women Media Radio Show. And good
night. Thank you, Anita Stewart.
Thank you. Good night.